The esteemed Rosh Hashiva of the Mir, who passed away now already close to 10 years ago, of Nassim Tzvi Finkel. There's a story once heard about him. There are these two boys, you know, even in the Mir Yeshiva, you have some jokesters who don't show up and are doing things they're not supposed to be. It's not only Meyuchat to Lev HaTorah that could go on in every place. These two boys, you know, whatever, some film room or what have you, they were doing something, and there was a knock on the door. And they're like, who is it? Who is it? It's like, it's Nassim Tzvi Finkel. Ah, not Nassim Tzvi Finkel. Who are you kidding? It's not you. And they ignored him. Okay, kept having a knock on the door. You know, as you could all imagine, like at that point, you know, one of them turns to the other. I don't know, should we let him in? Maybe he really is a Rosh Hashiva. You know, we might not be the most serious guys, but you know, we have a little bit of integrity. We aren't, after all, in the Mir. And okay, they open the door. And what they see after that, they said, both of them said, changed their lives forever. It was, in fact, from Nassim Tzvi Finkel. And he came into the room with his eyes closed, not looking, walked in for whatever he had to get there, and did not make any eye contact with the boys because he did not want to cause them even the slightest amount of embarrassment, which after that point would have been quite embarrassing when, you know, they were wasting the Rosh Hashiva's time and not allowing him in. I don't know what goes on in Minyan here. The few times I daven mincha in the yeshiva, I mean, for lack of a better word, it's pretty pathetic. But I don't know what goes on. I don't know what goes on with shacharis and mincha. I did just go up to the cheder ochel, and there were about 18 people eating breakfast, which either means one of two things: that people don't like oatmeal, which I totally hear. I'm not the, you know, most people in the world don't really love oatmeal, or it means that most people are just somewhere else, and that probably correlates to minyan not being great. I don't know if it's any of you. You know, you guys are here, so maybe it stands to reason that you guys have a better time with it, but that's definitely something people do struggle with, and it's been on my mind a lot lately, just trying to figure out. I tokened a phrase of late that, to me, I don't really, if a guy goes to yeshiva and does nothing, wants to bum around and is pathetic, like, it doesn't really bother me. It's just, they're making a conscious decision. I want to do nothing. I want to spend like $30,000 to be here for the year to do nothing. Okay, you know what, I don't really care. Okay, everyone can make their own decision. You can make your own bed. But what to me the saddest thing is, a guy is like, I want to be good. I want to do it. I just can't do it. I can't do this or I can't do that. And I told people last Moshe Shabbos I had a stomach virus, and the craziest thing in the world happened Sunday morning. You're not going to believe it. I even told the Shana Aleph guys, like, they fell out of their chairs. I made it to Shacharis. I know. I know it's crazy. I don't know, like yesterday I had a habamina that my head might be hurting a little bit, so I need to take a 7-week vacation. I know, it's crazy. I couldn't believe it. You could actually have a stomach virus and show up to davening. Like, I think if a guy did that, like, Rabboz has to give you like a medal. Like, you know, we gotta get you a bracha or Chaim Kanievsky. Like, who could hear such a thing? Like, it's the craziest thing in the world. I was talking with a peer of yours, so at least I know there's one Shunabek guy who struggled with Minyan. And he was telling me, yeah, I don't really wake up so much. So in general in life, and this could be when you get older and you start dating, if you get older and you're single, you might want to adjust and think that, like, maybe I need to do something that's like a little different. Like, maybe the girls I've been dating, maybe my mahalach has to be a little different. I might have to make changes. So in general, when something's not working, you gotta shift. I don't know anyone here is a football fan. I know you're all hockey fans, but I wouldn't know how to make a hockey muscle, so we'll go with football. If you're a bad team and you have an offensive-minded coach, you fire him, you get a defensive-minded coach. If you're a bad team and you have a defensive-minded coach, you fire him and you get an offensive-minded coach. Does it mean that, like, your mazel is going to change because you did that? No, but in life, we like to, we have to adjust when things aren't working. So if you're not waking up for Minyan and you're not showing up to Shacharis or for Mincha, I know that's a big thing here. Everyone needs their nap in the afternoon. I can relate. I very much enjoy a nap. And I also happen to not have the easiest time waking up from naps in the afternoon. Also, for whatever reason, I don't find waking up in the morning to be so challenging. But waking up from a nap, I find to be extremely, extremely challenging, especially when you make the room fully dark and you convince yourself it's nighttime and you're only sleeping for like an hour, hour and a half. You know, I understand that. But you need change. I was telling this guy, one of your peers, that I'm like, do you set an alarm? He's like, yeah. Let's play. I'm like, how many alarms do you set? He's like, one. I'm like, why don't you set five? He's like, well, why would I do that? I'm like, the reason you would do that is because clearly one's not working. You never show up. So whatever happens at that time, I'm like, what happens? Like, I get up, and then I usually go, you know, I get up for like a second, and, you know, you're like in a daze, like, and I was like, you know, like when you're high, you're in a daze. When you're waking up in the morning, you're in a daze. You know, he's in a daze. And then he flops right back to bed. And then he wakes up at 11 o'clock. Like, I can't tell you if you set 5 alarms that that won't happen, but at least you're giving yourself 5 chances. You have to give yourself better odds as opposed, and in general, like, it's just not working. You have to try to form a shift. Other reasons why I just think Minyan is very important, why this really was on my mind, I was speaking to Ashir a month ago, I did like a Minyan challenge with them, and one of the guys told me, I can't go to Minyan this Friday. I'm like, oh, why can't, I'm like, I know like Leva Torah, like it's optional, it's not really optional, but in your head it's optional. Okay, why can't you go to Minyan this Friday? Like, I gotta catch a bus, the Leva Torah down at 8 o'clock, I can't do that. And the guy was stunned, like, I don't know how many shuls are in all of Israel. I don't know how many shuls are in all of Ramat Beit Shemesh. But there's a lot of different options for minyanim. It doesn't just mean that if you don't make it to 8 o'clock Shacharis or 3:30 Mincha, or 9:45 Maariv, or whatever time Maariv is here, it doesn't mean that if you don't make it to those times, oh, I can't go to Minyan. There are other minyanim in Ramat Shiloh. There are other minyanim in Ramat Beit Shemesh. The guy thought, like, oh, I can actually go to like a 6:30 Minyan. He thought that was like the craziest thing he had ever heard in his entire life. And that's really what got me all riled, because that's again with only the one alarm clock. Like, you got to shift your odds. Like, if you're not able to, they say this about like some of the top Rabbanim in YU. Like, I never went to bed at like 3-4 in the morning. I don't really know from that world. Maybe you guys know from it better. But these guys are also are massive, massive Talmid Chachamim. So maybe I don't know from that world either, being a massive Talmid Chacham. But there was like a chevra of YU who are now all like BMP Rebbeim, Rashi Yeshiva and YU, that they would go to bed at like 4 in the morning and they would daven at like a 9 o'clock minyan. I don't know what it was like then. In my time, this is definitely on Friday, maybe even every day. In my time in YU, there was no 9 o'clock minyan. It doesn't mean that there's not today. For all I know, there's an 11 o'clock minyan today. They didn't have that. But these guys who were learning till 4 in the morning, they were able to figure out a way how they're able to daven shachars, and then they learned all day, so they made up the time being late to Seder, and halavai, you know, I should be at any of their toenails of Torah knowledge. But they didn't just live in a life that, oh, I can't make it to 8 o'clock, Leva Torah. So, you know, I can't go to Minyan. Okay, if you have to go early on a Friday, there's other Minyanim. And this also hit me a lot in the summer when I was in the States, and just from seeing various alumni and just seeing how for many of them, and my day, like whatever I do for the day, like it shifted to, like, I'd never been to Young Israel of Woodmere, I think maybe once for an upper for Minyan. I made it to a lot of Young Israel. I was also amazed that, like, at a 4 o'clock Mincha in the summer, you got like 65 people there. I was like, oh my God, that's really something else when, you know, you have many communities that don't have 65 people at Davin all day, and it's just a 4 o'clock Mincha smack in the middle of a summer day. And they also had a 4:30 and 5 and 5:30 and 6 and, you know, and 1:30 and 2 and many, many other times during the course of the day. I was really blown away by that, but I would see alumni like, yeah, so I'm like, I don't know, I was dragging them along, like, but it wasn't like in their cheshbon, like, like, oh, where am I? How am I going to daven? When am I going to get a minyan? Oh, I usually go to this minyan. Well, if you can't go at this time, you have to figure out. You have to be able to audible. It's obviously very, very important. And the yesod of minyan, that's really just an intro. Basically, other stuff have gotten me heated up, and then seeing like 18 people at breakfast, which you know, I was able to infer would probably happen before, or there's just a massive dislike of oatmeal. That also got me fired up to talk about this. And as well, like, it's about being committed. We have to be committed. You know, I don't love when like minyan and davening are on the same level. Like, if you don't daven, like, you know, you got to talk to like Rav Asher and Rav Uri. Like, that's what they're here for. Like, you don't believe in God if you don't daven. Like, they literally be like, I'm not saying prayer. That's a lack of belief in God. Not going to minyan, you know, it doesn't mean you don't believe in God. It could mean you're a bum, but it doesn't believe you don't believe in God. It means you're not committed. You're not committed. When you're really, really committed to something, like, you figure out a way on how to make it work. They had on Chanukah, I think it was. I was off. So I like to run, I like to bake, and I had to do some shopping. And I had to get mincha in during the day. So my wife and I were really trying to figure out, we were going for a morning walk, how I was going to get everything in. And like, it was like learning a piece of Gemara. We kept doing, oh no, that doesn't work, and we can't do this, we can't work. And I don't remember exactly what we did, but we ended up figuring out a way how to make it work. And how do we make it work? Because when you're committed to things, I want to do this, I want to do that, I want to do that. Oh, you know, lo and behold, you're able to... you're able to figure out how to make things happen, and when minyan's a part of your life, and that means Shacharis, Mincha, and Maariv, I know, 3 times a day. That's really crazy. 3 times a day. You know, if only, but you know, it's really not so crazy. It just means you're committed, and it becomes something that you end up doing. If he wasn't in the army, Mitchell Honig would be sitting here. He obviously would have made it. There's zero chance I could possibly fathom that he wouldn't be here. But he sent me a picture. When I spoke at Rakan's share last year, the last thing I spoke about last year was stealing time. So if you remember everything I said, I apologize. You can leave now also. But Mitchell sends me a photo of him learning Chumash, like when he had extra time. He writes on the caption, stealing time. So I know he's like, it's good he's not here. I have to be really careful what I say because he actually remembers everything I say. So like, I don't know, things that could get me fired or like arrested or, you know, everything else, you know, not arrested, but maybe fired.
He's behind you right now.
He's definitely behind. He has like the day off from the army. The army is like the biggest scam. They get more vacation days than, you know, any employees I know. But he sent me a picture. So, it was an idea I remember speaking about, and I even gave a challenge to that shir. It was right before the summer, or Bana's mom. I think before the summer, like, have your phone, you know, you're able to, the guy he's a daven with. I found this to be super annoying. The guy sat in front of me. He brought about 37 different sfarim to shul. He'd learn each one for about 14 seconds and then go on to the next one. ADD at its finest, and he had like a stopwatch on his phone, and he would keep starting it, and then stopping and starting and stopping, and he would have the amount of time. I assume he was doing that to know how much time he was learning during the course of the day. But I told Rav Khan Shir, write down every moment that you're able to steal, every moment that you're waiting for something, write it down, and you'll see how different of a person you are. So we're gonna tell some stories. It's gonna be story time now. About just hopefully all of them you'll be able to connect to, but maybe at least one of them will speak to each of you on how much time you're able to make. Rav Nevinsel, he is a Rebbe in Akotel and a Tivarie. He makes a Siyum Hashas every year. I'm sure he finishes Shas more than one time every year, but he makes a Siyum Hashas every year. So he made his annual Siyum Hashas. Nothing unusual. You know, I mean, unusual because we know Rosh Hashanah, but like we don't really know. Like we're not learning Shas every year. Okay, the years don't learn Shas every year. Maybe when Zach's trying to gimbal, he's going to plow through Shas. Who knows? But you know, we don't. Well, if you have that base, you won't. But you know, if you have a little bit more confidence, you know, you'll be able to. Okay, Rav Nevinsel made it Siyum Hashas. I don't know. Let's say he made it on November 10th, my birthday. Let's just say November 10th, and then like November 24th. That's my anniversary. That's one of the dates. Two weeks later, Rav Nevinsel tells one of the guys, gather the chevra around, I'm making a Siyum Hashas. And they're like, whoa, wow, he's really your old age, you're really picking up steam. You know, 2 weeks, you just made a Siyum Hashas. Okay, fine. Rav Nevinsel, they get the minion together, and Rav Nevinsel is saying, like, you're probably all wondering, like, what happened? How did I make a Siyum Hashas again so quickly? And they're all like, I don't know if we're wondering. They're like, I don't know, you just learn really quickly. Like, I don't know, like, I could, like, probably read all of Harry Potter, you know, in 2 weeks many times. So, okay, you could just go through, like, you know, you're able to read the Daffin like that. He's like, that's not what happened. Like, it's not that I read Shas like Harry Potter. It has nothing to do with Harry Potter or Sports Illustrated or ESPN. What happened is, this Siyum actually took me a lot longer than a year. 15, 20 years. He's like, this took me 15, 20 years to finish Shas. And then they're like, okay, Rabbi, now you're not really so impressive. You know, you do it every year. You need 20 years to finish Shas. And he's like, this is what I call the stealing time Siyum. He probably didn't call it that, but I'm going to call it that. What happens is, a lot of times in life, you know, you'll go to, I don't know why, you don't get this in America, but in Israel, you go to get pizza. It's like a 25-minute process. Like it's unbelievable. Like you're literally staring at available slices, but somehow those can't come to me, and I gotta wait like 20 minutes to get like 2 slices. It's a crazy phenomenon. Nothing I ever experienced in America. Literally, you call in advance, and it literally takes like 25 seconds to get your pizza. Okay, fine. And Ramos will say, no, I'll be waiting for my pizza. I'll be waiting for a wedding to start. And all that time, over the 15, 20 years, every time I had a few available minutes, instead of taking out my phone to see like, oh, how many shorthanded goals did the Rangers score? Or have the Islanders won a game yet this year? Or is Matthew Stafford's QB rating over 90 or under or 87? Or, you know, are the Maple Leafs finally going to figure out how to win? Or are we going to still say they're a great franchise living in the 60s, you know, when we were born in the 2000s, like, you know, whatever we're going to do to waste time. Rav Nevinsel had a different mahalach. He took out like pocket gemaras, And lo and behold, 20 years later, he was able to finish shots from all those available times. And we all have it. It's not just from Nevinsville. We wait for the pizza. We wait for the bus. We have that, like, awkward encounter. We don't know what to do. It's like we just take out our phone because that's, like, what naturally we have to. When we're done, I'm going to tell a funny story about taking out a phone related to a date. But that'll be for after. That's story number one. What's your name?
Moshe.
All right, we're just telling story times about right now, about stealing time, finding available moments. Rav Ari Zatz, right, he's from Teaneck, he's the assistant rabbi of B'nai Yeshurun. He went to Moresh HaKol through his years in high school. He was a serious guy. He hopes to have to be my brother's best friend growing up. And Moresh HaKol, their mincha is like a little, you know, whatever, their mincha and Maariv and Shacharis, Shmoneh Esrei is just a little longer than Leva Torah, which you should all be like every day, like during Mozim, you should thank Rabboas for that. So you don't have to wait. He has like a 4 minute Shmoneh Esrei or 5 minute Shmoneh Esrei, not 11. But okay, Rav Ari Zatz, during that time, they were learning Moed Katan and Kol that year. Every day before Chazaras HaShas, as a high school boy, you know, three times a day, 15 minutes or so, he was able to, he finished the entire Masechta waiting for them to start Chazaras HaShas. We've all been there waiting. Now, that, I'm not saying to learn during Chazaras HaShas. That's the favor you shouldn't do. But we've all been there waiting for Chazaras HaShas when we just don't know what to do. So either, like, we take out our phone, which we shouldn't do, or we do nothing, which is better than taking out your phone, but still not great, or we're able to find available moments. Story number two. Story number three is Guy Davin with Joel Rosenstein. He hasn't missed a Vasikin minion in 10 years, or 11 years by now. I was in America in the summer. He made a Siyam Hashas and Mishnayas. So he sent me his whole shiur that he gave, and talking about how much Mishnayas mean to him. And he said that every day he comes to Shacharis early. Can you believe that? You know, we talked about at the beginning coming to Shacharis. Imagine coming early, you know. And there's no kol boker by us. Like, it's not like you're not getting a mug or a Chanukiah for coming early. Like, it's totally lishma. It's not that, like, you know, you'd be able to, like, make coffee and have a mug. He's totally lishma. And he talks about the maila of coming early. And every single day, like, he used to be like, he would just come to daving on time. And then he found Mishnayis. And every day he found, oh, it's crazy. Somehow, and Vasikin, how it works is, it's never the same time. So it's not like, oh, I dive in at 6:30, I come in at 6:20. Like, you're constantly changing your entire year. Your schedule is different. But he found that available time, and he's now gone through Shas Mishnayos twice. You know, I actually just started with Masechet with Brachos, because it started last week. It's not such a long investment. Oh, we don't have time. Okay. Do we really not have time, or, you know, do we have time for all the other things in our lives we have time? Somehow for Spider-Man we have time, but for Mishnayos we don't have time, or for Batman, or for Pokemon, or for Magic, or whatever it is. I don't know, Pokemon's in Digi. I don't know from these things. I don't. It's good muster. We all need the muster. We all have the time for that, and everything else we somehow find the time for. Spider-Man was a good analogy. We somehow have the time for that. You know, the amount of time that you watched Spider-Man and you got there and you went back to the 4 hour round trip. It's not inconceivable. That's 30 days of doing Maseches Brachos. It's not inconceivable that you could do the entire Maseches Brachos of Mishnayos in that time. It's not. I'm not going out on like the craziest of limb. Even a Leva Torah guy, like, you know, even a Leva Torah guy. Even everyone in this room especially a Leva. He did a whole Masechta in a week. He spent a lot more than 4 hours on that. As Rajik was alluding to me before I started this, the times have changed. So when I was in Rajik Shir Shana Bet, maybe just times were different and you could say more, things weren't recorded, we didn't talk to our families as often, you weren't worried about getting fired. Like, there was maybe a lot of things in life were different.
This seems like a major concern of yours.
Yeah, I mean, I support my family. My parnassus is my biggest concern. Sometimes he would end shiur, he would just finish at 12:55. I'll just assume 12:55, made lunch at 1. And he would say that, you know, you could just leave now. You can leave now. Or, you know, technically shiur is till 1. He'd go back in the base medrash and learn till 1. I don't know if he still says such radical things. But that will happen. That'll happen a lot. Like, oh, you'll finish learning. Oh, you'll finish Seder time with your chavrusa, or he'll finish here early, or you know whatever amount of time that might be, or an afternoon class might end earlier, or night Seder, you know whatever it might be. And it could be either way. Whatever. It's got 5 minutes to tomorrow. Like, yeah, what am I going to do now? Or I can tell, or I can say to myself, you know, five minutes. I'll do 3 psukim. I'll do a mishnah. I'll do a halacha. I'll do whatever I'm able to do. But you're able to find that you have, there's so much time, like, within our actual siddharma of the day. We haven't even gotten into, like, what's going on with all the other time, and we're not even finding time. Within our siddharma during the day, we have so much extra time. This last story, I don't know how inspiring it is. It has to be about me, but I don't know how inspiring it is. This first part is inspiring. Moshe Goodfriend, who was shunned at Bet last year, he was telling me one day that he really likes Mishnah Berurah. I'm like, oh, I still like Mishnah Berurah. I'm like, I do Mishnah Berurah Yomi. Like, oh, what are you up to? Like, well, I don't really do it. I did it like before my daughter was born. Like, oh, how old is your daughter? I'm like, oh, she just turned 4. So, okay. And now she's just turned 5. But after that conversation, I got very inspired and I started doing Mishnah Berurah Yomi. And, I've actually now done, almost two entire halakim, which is entirely because of Moshe Goodfreund. And when I do Mishnah Berurah Yomi, this is when it can get a little less inspiring, is, so the minyan I daven at, I guess I daven a little faster than the minyan. So most of my time of doing it is like when I finish like Yishtabach until they start Shmonesra, until they start Baruch Hu, and until they start Kaddish. And then a lot of like after I finish Shema, like before Gal Yisrael, I have a few extra minutes. So that's basically when I'm able to chop the timer before Chazar Tashah. So it might not be so inspiring because like maybe I should just, you know, if I'm anyway the minyan that's taking that speed, maybe I should focus more on my time for davening. But probably naturally before that time, I would just like space out and be, just wait. And again, I'm not in, like insinuating that anybody should be like, yeah, like let's like finish like really quickly and learn before Shema. That's not what I'm saying. Focus more in tefillah, have more kavanah in tefillah. You daven in yeshiva, take advantage of being able to daven in yeshiva and not having to daven at a fast minyan, which maybe I wish I davened at a faster minyan. I don't know. But the point is that there really is a lot of available time and all these times that we could just literally do nothing that we're able to raise up. Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, who started the Musar movement, someone asked him the following question. I only have 30 minutes in a day. Can you imagine that? Imagine 30 minutes in a day. Okay, you'll get to a point. You guys will be very, very busy. You'll be working. You'll be supporting families. You might only have 30 minutes a day. He's like, what should I learn? You know, so it's a good question. Like, I don't know, maybe you guys will go home. You went maybe last summer. You were at camp and you're like, oh, I only have so much time. What should I learn? And Yisrael Salanter said, learn Musar. You know what's going to happen when you learn Musar for 30 minutes a day? You're going to realize you have a lot more than 30 minutes in a day. And that's exactly what our lives are. When we look at our lives and you take out your phone, you're going to start doing it. Do it for a week, a month, or your whole life. But do it for a week and see how much available time that normally I would do nothing. I would do nothing during. I would literally do nothing. Even like just, when I started running, like just the amount of podcasts and shiurim and just on Monday, like how much more of a bucky I could be in football highlights. You know, you're able to become just because, like, you know, you gave yourself that availability. Like, you just realize you're going to see, you know, Zach's going to see, like, this week, I had 2 hours and 27 minutes of time I was able to steal. Like, wow, that's a lot of time. Like, right now, you have no idea. Right now, you're just thinking, I'm so busy, you know, I do this. And, like, maybe you've also had a stomach virus and by some miracle came to chakras. I know it's like the crazy. I can't even imagine such a world. Like, but we're going to be able to see like how much time you're able to steal, and then you're like, wow, there's so much time in my day. There's so much that I'm able to do, and it just changes you. Your whole complexion on life, and then ultimately when you start working and in marriage and everything that you're able to do, you become a better time manager of your life. You have complete control over your life. That it's not only that I have 5 minutes to do this, 10 minutes to do this. Like, you're really able to see that you have a lot of time. It's not that, you know, as I've seen now with the tragedy, but really Corona's opened my eyes to this, that the life is borrowed time, because even for those of us that are healthy, and I don't know if anyone really doesn't know anybody who's gotten sick or died through Corona, but even if like by some miracle, you know, you're holding by that you don't know anybody, like we've definitely seen at the very least, our lives have been altered. Even if we're healthy, our lives have been altered. Like telling people, I can't travel, or I can't do this, or I have to wear a mask, or I can't go into a museum, or a mall. You know, I can't. Everyone's lives have been altered. So, time has been taken from us. But now it's time to get It's time to get that get our time back in control and to see what am I able to do. You're gonna see ultimate greatness that you're gonna find wherever you're gonna be. For those that are going to the army, it's probably more critical because that could be the difference between coming out of the army, you know, still with the, you know, having a neshama that's like full of tara or not, is that you found those available. Because you're gonna be like, army's like, I never did the army. I'm not like trying to like talk and jest or mock the army. I'm sure the army is a very exhausting and very difficult, and I can just imagine, like, you know, I start running, I know how difficult and tiring that is. I can only imagine what the army must be like. So if you have 15 available minutes and you're like, you know, you just whipped out and you learned 2 Mishnayos, 3 Mishnayos, you learned 2 Halachas, and like instead of just being like, oh, 15 minutes, like I just need to like veg and just like lie down, which I totally get. But you see that like, wow, I took that to spirituality, you're gonna perceive yourself in a totally different way than you looked at yourself before. And everything's gonna change. Your whole life, your whole complexion of that is gonna change. But even if you go back to college, even for someone who's maybe going to be in Santa Monica or San Diego or, you know, face other places that he shouldn't be in, you know, whatever, you know, we all, you know, sometimes my children have accidents and sometimes, you know, 18, 19 year old, 20 year old boys, you know, have accidents in their life decisions. But, you know, it happens to us all. But if you want even a fighting chance at succeeding, I'm giving it that you have a fighting chance at succeeding. So you got to remember both parts of this. So, you know, oh, I have a test, or I'm really tired. Like, if minion 3 times a day is not at the core of things that you're doing, and of finding available moments, anytime I have an available moment, I'm not maximizing that. I'm not taking that to the greatest ability and greatest potential of mine. You're gonna flop. Like, you just it's like a pancake that wasn't well done. It's just gonna flop. Like, it's not gonna be. It's going to look like that, and then your whole body and neshama and self are going to look like that. And I don't know. I mean, I know going to YU and Leva Torah, like especially Shana Beth, like, you know, that's like so 5 years ago. So I don't know if anyone here is going to YU or will be in a full time I guess people are. Or okay, you're not in the army anymore.
No, like I am, but like afterwards. So you go in the army.
All right. Okay. Whatever it is. But even those that are in YU where you have or yeshiva and college where, you know, it's structured, I mean, at least structured for success. I have a time of learning and a time of university, and it's not that I have to find the time, but it's important there to find opportunities. I remember when I got to YU, I remember Jake telling me on Shana Beth that he learned like a massively long night theater, which I thought was crazy. And then when I got to YU, I thought, like, okay, you learn 8 to 10, like, that's pretty good to learn 8 to 10. Who would learn more? So I wasn't the most serious student at any point, and certainly when I started my college career, I wasn't so serious. And I was very mocked, like, you had to be there at 8. But meaning that also meant 8. Like, and we could talk a different time about, like, people that come late to things, like how much that bothers me. But okay, I was mocked to get there at 8, but I never thought about getting there early. So I remember my first semester in YU, every day at like 7:30 to like 7:55, I would be looking at Baseball Reference. Like, I was holding cold. Like, I could tell you, like what Barry Bonds' OPS plus was every year. Like, and like getting into, like, and this was like before analytics was like a thing. Like, I was like experimenting with analytics. You know, sometimes we experiment with other things. Okay. So, maybe in the oven. But, you know, I was experimenting with analytics, and like, one day it totally hits me that, I'm like, Mark, you're just a buffoon. Like, you don't have to do it. Like, why am I doing it? Cause in my head, like, It was the furthest thing from like a possibility that I would get there before 8 o'clock. Like, of course I wouldn't get there after. I once had a professor. He ended class after 8, and I told him, like, you're being bittel Torah barabim. Like, it's not right what you're doing. Okay, I'm not saying that you should do that. I still think I was right, but I'm not saying that's the kind of lines you should be telling professors. But I think it was wrong. Like, if class ends at 8, like, what are you keeping us there at 8:03? Like, it really is bittel Torah barabim. So yeah, I helped getting there after 8 was not appropriate. But chas v'shalom rachmana l'tzlan lo aleinu, that would get there before 8. And then I think to myself, what are you doing? Like, I don't need to know, like, you know, like what Jeff Kent's batting average was after intentional walks to Barry Bonds, like, and how Rich Aurelia did on 3-1 fastballs batting before Barry Bonds. I'm not even a San Francisco Giant fan, but I mean, those were all San Francisco Giants examples. But, you know, just like, I was like obsessed with it. And I'm like, I don't need to do it. Like, you don't need to do it. And I suddenly started getting there. Like, oh, I got there earlier. anyway, I wasn't taking my classes seriously. You should take your classes seriously. Right. I personally was not. So I wasn't doing anything. And then I'm able to be like, wow, you're really able to steal time. And all of a sudden, I look at myself like, you just get on like a different fire. You're a different person because you're finding available moments. It could be, I've just never been the busiest person in the world, and everybody else has ever been created in the world is just significantly busier than me, and everything everybody does is super busy, and nobody ever like thinks about like, you know, going to Modine to watch movies, and nobody's watching like football while in cheer. Like it could be that like I'm just, you know, you guys are just on all, everyone's just on such a different level than me. But I found for myself, like you just become differently. You're maximizing your time. And eventually, hopefully, you know, you guys got another 100 years, but at some point it's gonna be game over. And the thing that we all have to ask ourselves and I hope is when the screen's gonna flash game over, like it shouldn't be that you're gonna be like, no, God, just give me like a half hour. I just gotta see one more episode of Big Bang Theory. And then like, and then I'm good. Then I'll come up to Shmaim and we can have our Bechina. I'm ready to come to Olam Emes. I just need that. Like, I can't imagine anybody who's ever thought about thinking in their life would have that. That would be a conscious thought that anybody, or unconscious if you're dead, would be a thought that would ever enter someone's mind. But you want to go up to Shammai and be like, you know, I made the most of my time. I found available moments. I found time. Like, oh, I was able to do more. Like, God, you know how grueling, I mean, you're God. Like, you never did the army. Like, I did the army. Like, you know how grueling, dual curriculum in YU. Like, you know what that's like? Like, being back in Toronto, you know what it's like to be in Toronto where, like, you know, I had to go to, like, Ryerson or whatever place people go to. Like, do you know how challenging that is? And like, and then you're able to tell God, like, I went through that. You never went through that. And I found available time. I made the most. You know, when people are talking about like, who are the YU studs, like Zach Fagan, that's like the name they're all throwing out. You know why I became that person? Because I stopped looking like I had a horrified face when that was said. And you know, I found moments. Or, I don't know why I'm picking your nose. That's a little weird. Okay, but I found available moments. I found the time. I was able to maximize my time and be able to be the best version of myself. I really, you know, sometimes I'm not like insinuating you guys can do whatever you want, but I would recommend that you take out your phones and you have the stopwatch on and you find when you have that available time. I would also say this, hopefully you guys don't do any Yisurim, be for a different time, but if any of you do any Yisurim, it might also be a good idea to have that timed as well. So you know, you have a better hasaga, like what's going on with your life, like how much time am I spending on this, how much time am I making, how much time am I maximizing, and how much time, chas v'shalom, am I not making the most of my time.